You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Me Too movement has launched us into a national discussion about sexual harassment, especially harassment and assault committed by high-profile men in entertainment, politics, journalism, even the world of food, with allegations against celebrity chef Mario Batali. My next guest believes we should also be talking about another aspect of sexual assault: forced sex in intimate relationships. One study estimates more than 12 million adults in this country, most of them women, experience intimate partner violence every year. Dr. Shervin Asari is an assistant professor of psychiatry and public health at the University of Michigan. And that number that I just cited, all too common problem in this country, something you call long overlooked but insidious.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Yes, it is a very common, not only in the United States, in almost any country in the world. So we know that women more frequently get exposed to violence, both in the workplace and also in intimate partner relations. And also, this is very common for young people and minority people and people who are either unemployed or have lower power in their relation or in their workforce.
Because it's about power, isn't it?
It is about power, exactly. So one reason men commit this more is because they have the more chances for employment and also age difference. Overall, usually men are older in the intimate relations, and that age difference has implication for power issues.
Why so?
There is notation that power corrupts. So if you give power to people, not absolute power, just power, that corrupts. Philip Zimbardo at Stanford conducted a study years ago, a very landmark study, which showed innocent people, students, undergraduate students who have high level of morality, if you give a group power, that they would start abusing that power against the other group which does not have power.
So they're not inherently evil, immoral people.
Exactly. It is powerful people who do that, or people who have an unbalanced power, not just people who are immoral.
So how does that play out in, let's say, a marriage?
In marriage, if the age difference is too high, or a female is a minority individual, or unemployed, or financially dependent to the male partner, or an immigrant. So any aspect, social aspect, which changes the strength or the relative power of the partners, that becomes a risk factor.
What are some other risk factors?
One big risk factor is substance use. So substance use, drugs, especially problem alcohol use. So not just entertaining with substance, but a substance problem, that would increase the risk. And also depression. So it's not just intimate partner violence exposure make people depressed. Depression is also a risk factor for committing or perpetrating the violence. So it is both ways. And also another part is impulse issues, or anger management or emotion regulation issues. So it's very interesting. We go to school, and by going to school, we learn how to regulate our emotion. That is why, on average, a higher socioeconomic place would be lower in these problems. That is not because they have moral standards more than the other group. It's just because they have received higher quality of education, and they have learned to regulate their emotions, and that means prevention of these type of behaviors.
When we talk about intimate partner violence, what kind of acts, what kind of behaviors are we talking about?
Intimate partner violence includes verbal, psychological, physical, and sexual abuse. In sexual abuse, that also from rape to forced sex. Like, one partner may not want sex in a particular time or a particular way of having sex. So all these are being categorized as intimate partner violence.
And what about the consequences to the victim in terms of her physical health and her mental health?
It's very difficult to assume that being exposed to intimate partner violence increases risk of asthma, but it does. It increases risk of heart disease. it increases risk of bowel syndromes like IBS. There is almost no medical or psychiatric problem that exposure to intimate partner violence doesn't increase that risk.
Is that because the body is just always in that kind of fight or flight?
Because it is a stress.
Yes,
right.
Constant stress.
Absolutely.
How do you think, Doctor, that we as a society should confront and talk about this problem of forced sex in intimate relationships? I mean, what are we not doing that we should be doing?
One aspect of it is we can always do more of prevention. And again, prevention has different levels. One is giving treatment to people who are either depressed, to people who have emotion regulation problems or substance use problems. But a more broad intervention is to reduce poverty, to have laws and regulations who support minorities, immigrants, increasing quality of education at the schools. So many public policies would promote these type of behaviors through reducing mental health problems and also emotion regulation.
And these things you describe are not exactly happening in America in 2017.
I think U.S. is doing worse than before when it comes to immigration, when it comes to welfare, and also quality of education in urban areas and many other things.
What if you suspect that a friend or a relative is being sexually abused by a spouse or a partner? Maybe they're not saying it, but you get the feeling something is up. What are the best ways to bring it up and help her seek help?
Okay, one issue is that these people are suffering in silence. So the people around them need to approach them and have the conversation and say, it's not your fault, making distance from victim blaming, because victims may blame themselves. So maybe something is wrong with myself.
So might I say to a friend, is everything okay? I mean, give me some ideas of things to break the ice and actually start the conversation.
Conversation would be difficult because this is still taboo. Yeah. So it is not easy to talk about social problems at this level, especially if it is like physical aggression. But overall, approaching each other, increasing social support, having conversation about all of these, especially in close relationships, like a close friend or parents, like parent asking their children. So if you saw a dysfunctional relation, that may signal the presence of something in the relation. Mm-hmm. The other one is that, again, mental health problems are cause and consequences. So if you see someone getting depressed and more than before, that might be related to some of these exposures. So be aware of those signals and then approaching people and trying to offer them some help.
Dr. Shervin Asari is an assistant professor of psychiatry and public health at the University of Michigan. You'll find his essay on forced sex and intimate relationships by going to theconversation.com. Doctor, thank you so very much.
Of course, my pleasure.